It's been another devastating weekend in Gaza. More than 40 Palestinians died in Israeli airstrikes across the enclave yesterday, according to Gaza's civil defence agency. 10 people, including at least 6 children, were reported to have been killed, and more than a dozen were wounded in an Israeli airstrike as they went to collect water in central Gaza, where shortages have worsened in recent weeks. The Israeli military said there had been a technical error with a strike targeting a suspected member of the Islamic Jihad group that caused the munition to fall dozens of metres from the target, and that the incident is now under review. Joining us now is freelance journalist in Jerusalem, Orly Halpern. Orly, tell us more about this strike near the water distribution point. What do we know?
Well, what we know is that this is a place inside the Nusayrat refugee camp where there is a source of water where people come from all over the refugee camp with their big yellow water containers or their buckets, and they fill up. And often this is something that children go and do. They wait in line and then they bring the water back to wherever their family is camped or staying. And that morning, the Israelis targeted somebody and they killed 10 people, and 7 of them were children. So it was a horrific attack. There's incredible, heartbreaking footage of a father carrying his dead son. The father's name, I found out, is Khalid Ibrahim. He was carrying his dead son, Siraj, who's 11 years old, and his other son, Saleh. He must have rushed there when he heard the explosion, and then knowing that his son had gone that direction, because then his son, Saleh, runs up to them, and you can see him. He realizes what happened, and he just holds on to his brother, and he's crying so hard. It's just terrible. And what happened afterwards is that the IDF, after some time passed, said that it was a technical error. We don't know that it was a technical error. It could have been on purpose. Just last week, we saw something similar. The IDF targeted a single person and killed 15 people. It was in Deir al-Balah, also in the center of Gaza. These were women and children that were waiting outside a medical clinic to collect nutritional food for the kids. And there's a CCTV video where you see 2 young men walking by and they're struck by a missile. And then you see just children and mothers splattered on the ground. It's horrific. And the UN called, it was such a big story that the UN called for an investigation. So this technical error that Israel is claiming, we don't actually know. It may be just a way to ward off intense criticism.
And so that has not been verified yet. But the IDF rarely acknowledges such errors.
It does. And that's why it's possible that it comes because there were so many children that were killed, because it was in a place where the Israelis knew that there was a water distribution site, and yet they did make an attack. Then it may be just a way of avoiding criticism for killing someone so close.
But of course, well, we don't know that for certain. But overnight, US President Donald Trump said he hoped a ceasefire deal could be straightened out this week. But over the weekend, talks appeared to stall, with Israel and Hamas accusing each other of trying to block the deal. Now, that ceasefire is much wanted in Gaza. What are you hearing in Israel?
Well, there was a very, very rowdy meeting last night of the war cabinet, of Israel's war cabinet. Israel has a plan to create what it's calling a humanitarian city, which is an awful name for it, because it's actually more like a transfer camp where all the Palestinians will come in after they've been checked that they're not Hamas or any type of militant, and then they will stay there. And if they want to leave, they can only leave to go out of the country. So out of the Gaza Strip. So this plan, the IDF told the government, the war cabinet, that it will take a year to make this happen. And Netanyahu was very upset. He also said at the end, from the reports that are coming out of the Israeli media this morning, he also said that it would take time to make a decision. And we know that Trump has also said that it could take another week. We know that Netanyahu has basically until the end of July, if he would like to stretch out time, that in case his government collapses due to a deal, there won't be a vote on it. Because at the end of July, the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, goes out to recess. And so the government can't collapse. Any decision he makes after that point cannot bring about the collapse of the government, even if his coalition partners leave because they don't agree to a ceasefire. So there might be more stalling until the end of the month.
Orly Halpern in Jerusalem, thank you so much. Staying with Gaza now, and Israeli airstrikes were reported to have killed at least 43 people in the enclave yesterday, including at a water distribution point and at a market in Gaza City. It comes as the UN Human Rights Office said it had recorded at least 798 killings within the past 6 weeks at aid points in Gaza, including 615 around the US and Israeli-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. It says people in Gaza are facing a choice between being shot or being fed. The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has accused the UN of using false and misleading statistics, while the IDF has said it is reviewing mass casualties and is seeking to minimise friction, it says, between the military and Palestinians. Now, joining us now is the spokesperson for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, Jonathan Fowler. Jonathan, we know that people are dying, desperate to access food and water. UNRWA has food, it just can't distribute it.
Precisely. Basically, since the beginning of March, there's been a total siege imposed on Gaza. Since May, a little bit of aid has been allowed in, but I mean the consequences on the ground, the human health, the raging rates of malnutrition. I mean, everywhere you look, this is apocalyptic. It's a war of superlatives in the worst possible sense. And the point is, of course, you know, we have aid ready to go. I'm speaking to you from Jordan, where we have a warehouse full of aid that we could just take in if we were allowed to, and we're not. And that is a human policy choice. That's a choice by the state of Israel.
And the clock is ticking. There's a time limit on some of this aid. It won't all last.
Absolutely. I mean, notably flour, you know, which of course is essential because it's a staple to be able to get bread, people to be able to bake bread, you know, on sort of little fires in the tent camps where they're living, or, you know, in the damaged buildings, or indeed to public bakeries, these kind of things. But that's a key concern. But I mean, you know, the point is that, you know, this is all sort of sitting here. It's just waiting to be allowed in, and the levels of starvation on the other side. I mean, it's beyond words, basically.
Now, we just heard about the EU's efforts to try and get more aid into Israel, and amid ongoing concerns about the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and the deaths of people who are looking to get food aid, are there any real alternatives operating in Gaza at the moment?
I mean, operating, you know, we continue to operate on the ground as much as we can. We're the largest humanitarian agency from the UN system. You know, we have something in the order of 12,000 operational staff. They're still doing what they can in terms of trying to run clinics, you know, mobile health teams, doing, you know, water purification where that's possible. But of course, the absence of fuel makes that extremely difficult because pumping stations don't work. So, but indeed, I mean, the point is food. Food is the thing that people need, and that is not being allowed in. Now, you know, you rightly mentioned the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. Putting the name humanitarian in the title of something doesn't make it in any way compatible with humanitarian law. And people are facing this stark choice, you know, eat or die, basically. You know, we're going to go, basically try to go to get food from these few distribution points that this foundation has, this Israeli-American scheme is operating, but potentially risk their life and risk death going to do it.
Now, Israel has alleged that Hamas was diverting aid, and that's why the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was needed.
There's absolutely no evidence for that. And that's not just me, you know, or the UN overall saying that. I mean, the previous envoy of the United States from the previous UN administration has gone on the record, you know, on television, saying that in private conversations with the Israeli authorities, this was never raised as a concern. And yet, you know, if you look on social media or you hear the pronouncements in public of Israeli officials, you know, and others, it's as if this was an enormous thing. So, I mean, in a sense, you know, this is a rhetorical device. There are other reasons potentially for this Israeli-American scheme, this so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. In a sense, I mean, you know, it's almost kind of contributing to the problem that it purported to solve, because they don't do the controls that the UN did in terms of who's receiving aid and all these kind of things. They don't kind of go to where the communities in need are. So, I mean, that it's not a solution, and it's a solution based on a lot of rhetoric, basically claiming a problem that didn't exist before. So the big question is why?
Now, Jonathan, ceasefire talks are ongoing, but apparently hit a bit of an impasse at the weekend. Is there enough international pressure to secure a deal and to get accessible aid in, and fast?
I mean, it's difficult to say, well, what is enough? I mean, the point is there has been no change. And this situation, I mean, it's been desperate since the beginning of this war in 2023. You know, there was a ray of hope with the previous ceasefire where we, the UN system, we were able to scale up aid massively from January to March. And then this total siege imposed on aid at the beginning of March. I mean, there has to be change. The question is how it happens. You know, choices have to be made to allow aid to flow in at scale and to flow in, you know, the amount of aid that's required, the quantity, the frequency, all of that has to happen. It has to happen overnight, basically.
Jonathan Fowler with the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in Jordan. Thank you.